Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
Love Talk Radio. Your program is the Overship of Zion, and your host and moderator is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these airways and skyways once again, bringing unto you the divine word of truth as I know it to be. I hope and I pray that all has been well with you and yours on today. I hope and pray that those of you that were able to go out to your various churches and mass, that you had a beautiful day, and I know that God met you there. But for those of you that hadn't had an opportunity to get outside of your comfort zone, I just want to welcome and send out our welcome mat to you on this afternoon. And I want to let you know that you're welcome anytime that you see the Overship of Zion on the airways. You're welcome to tune in. We would be glad to have you amongst our service on this evening. And this is a live church service. Hallelujah. And so we just thank all of you, including our guests and our friends, our constituents, our kingdom family, our kinship family, and all of you that has made the Overship of Zion a part of your listening program. We just want to thank you, and may God bless you, you and you on today. All right, I want to just send out condolences to those of you that has lost loved ones near and far. And we want you to know that you're not alone in your hour of bereavement. But we want you to know that Jesus is walking right along the side of you. And when you saw only two set of footprints, that's when Jesus carried you, spiritually carried you, because God is a spirit. And we just want you to know that you are not alone, but we weep along with you as being disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to share in each other's burdens according to the word of God. So we just want you to just be encouraged and know that this too shall pass. May God bless you on today, you and your family all around the world. All right, so now we're going to go into our opening prayer. So I'm just asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. I want to present Jesus to some and introduce to others. He's a holy deity. He is our Lord and our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. And so we just want to reference him each and every opportunity that presents itself. When we come across these airways, hallelujah, then we're going to acknowledge him, because God tells us, in all that you do, acknowledge me, and I, Jesus, will direct yours, mine, and our path. So I just want to thank you, Heavenly Father, for enabling us, God, hallelujah, to just gather together, God, around the spectrum, Father God. We just thank you because you're so wonderful. You're so beautiful. You're just so loving, God. You love us when we didn't even love ourselves, God. We just thank you on today. We thank you, oh gracious Heavenly Father, for your love unmeasured, God, because we know that your love, it just begins and it never ends, God. And we just thank you, gracious Heavenly Father, for just enabling us together in unity, God, again around this spectrum. And Father God, we know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God. It's not our eternal destination. But we know that you have lying and waiting, God. Home that's not built by mortal man. But you are the creator and you are the architect. And until you come in all your glory, all of your beauty, God, we will continue upward and onward in your way, God. We will continue to mount up from the four corners of this earth, God, starting from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims, hallelujah, traveling through this barren land. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me, God, to bring a rhema word to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement and words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we won't take your praise, we won't take your glory, but we'll give you all the glory, all the honor that are due unto thee. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we'll let the kingdom temple of God say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I just want to thank those of you that are able to tune in on today, being Sunday. This is the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day, but we know that Sunday is actually dedicated to our Lord and Savior by going out to your various church and just giving God worship and praise. So I just thank you once again for tuning in to the Overship of Zion. I have the chat room available for your sitting and listening pleasure. Just come aboard, bring all your chip, your dip, whatever you want to sip. Bring your latte, your OJ, and water beverages. Bring your iPhone, your smartphone, your tablet, and all of your digital devices, because we are in need of them. We're living in an electronic world. And so we know that this is a part of our livelihood in today's society. So I just want you to just come aboard and allow me to bring a word unto you from the Lord. I will be with you. I'm scheduled to be with you for, I believe, an hour and 60 minutes. I believe that is, if I make no mistake, an hour and 20 minutes. And so we're going to just split it, and I'm going to get half over my message, and then the other half will be allotted for the hymns of Zion. And so without any further ado, we're going to take you into a live program that's already in progression. And so we are talking about on today our sermon, and it's entitled "The Loudmouth Occupants of Egypt Anger God." I want to say that one more time. The loudmouth occupants of Egypt angered God. And we're going to read our first key scripture. And it reads like this, hallelujah. It said that when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused. And that scripture is coming out of the law of Numbers 11 and 1. All right, we're going to read our second key scripture, and it reads this. They tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Exodus 17 and 7. All right, our final key scripture for today reads this. Just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice, hallelujah, over, let me read that again. Just as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of Deuteronomy 28 and 63. Bless the Lord. So we're talking about complaining. That is what we're talking about. We're talking about us as a whole, as a society, as a world, as a nation. We all belong to God. God made us in his own image. And so, you know, it is that we mumble and grumble and we complain about things, you know, that when we get into difficulty situations, may it be food shortage, may it be the mortgage due, the rent is due, the insurance is due on the car notes due, no money in the bank, the child's daycare is due, your son college tuition is due, and so everything is just due. And you don't have, you know, any resource, and you just feel like that, you know, you've prayed, and you feel like the Lord has not heard your humble cry. Well, I want to let you know that God, he never turns a deaf ear at his children, and that's you and I. And so just think about all the other tuitions. Think about all the other car notes. Think about the house mortgage and the rent and the child daycare that was due and had been due for all the other times. And God made a way of escape. I want you to know that's that same God that you and I serve today. He has not changed, and he has not changed his mind. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And God will bless us. You know, all we have to do is just be patient. See, that was the problem with the children of Israel. They was not thankful, and they didn't have patience. When the first thing started to go bad, then they would, you know, start pointing the finger and say, well, you know, maybe, you know, the Lord should have left us where we were. And they was wandering around in the wilderness. You know, it's just like a, you know, it was an old song back in the day was, I think it was Young Child Running Wild. So you better go back home where you belong. You're lost in this great big city. Well, that's the way that the children of Israel was. They was roaming around because they had nowhere to go, no sense of direction, and they was just lost until God reached down with his mighty, omnipotent hand and power and rescued them from themselves. You know, and when, you know, it's just like we are today. We don't thank God for what God has already done. Just look back over your life and see where God has brought you from and where God is trying to carry you. But we cannot rush God. We have to hurry up and wait on God. God said, I heard you the first time. We do not have to continue to go over and over what we've already prayed. And we laid our prayer petition down before the feet of God. We do not have to go back and read that, recite that before God. God do not have amnesia. He don't have Alzheimer's. And so God heard us the first time. But we just, you know, we get nervous and we go to say, well, I don't know if God going, you know, help me. I don't know if I'm going to get any money to pay my mortgage, to pay my rent, to pay my child's daycare tuition, you know. And we, you know, and we just like, you know, well, what, you know, what have God been all those other times? Where have God been? God did not go into hiding. God is that same God all those other times that he is right now. But we have to trust God. We have to trust God when we cannot trace him. We have to trust them. We know when the children of Israel grumbled about how God was leading them and wanted to return to the fresh spot of Egypt, then Moses petitioned God for help. He asked God for aid on behalf of the community because he realized that the detrimental influence of complaining and the importance of keeping the community unified in order to achieve God's purpose. See, God is going to always be God no matter what. We change all day. We change our attitude. We change our hairstyle. We change our hair coloring. We change our clothing. Maybe the fat, we change that. We change our nail polish. We change a whole lot of things about us. But God is one holy deity that never changes. God forever stays the same. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, God wanted to keep the community unified. Hallelujah. And so in order to achieve God's purpose, our ultimate allegiance is to God, and our ultimate connection with each other is through God. We know that the spirit of family and community is present when people place the proper emphasis on these bonds. Hallelujah. Now, you know, as you listen to the news and you read your newspaper articles and your magazines, write-ups, you see, we know a whole lot now about the judicial system just by politics, you know, and they running for governors and running for presidents and running for senator seats and what have you. So we know that you have Congress members of the Congressional Black Caucus. They might bitter and then come sharp in disagreement on particular issues, but we know that if one of them gets in trouble or need a special assistant, they would without hesitation go to the aid of that colleague. We know it's more important for them to function as a family and a community. Hallelujah. But so we know that to continue to just be divided over issues is lesser important. Self-ambitious, popularity, and positions. We must not grumble, but rather seek positive solutions for the problem that threatens our families and our community. We know that our survival as a family and as a community rests upon such constructive effort. So, like I said, you know, we can agree to disagree. But what we most importantly have to do is when we pray to God, we got to pray like we know God is going to do what we asked him. God knows that you need that bill paid. God knows that you have that tuition that's due. God knows you have your mortgage due. God knows that you don't have any money in the bank. God knows that you're lower on gasoline for your car. And God is going to make a way. God already told you and Adam. He said, I'll never leave you, and I will never forsake you. You know, we have a lot of people that forsake us. We have people that say they are friends. They don't have any problem about walking off. You know, well, you know, I'll see you later. You know, see you around. You know, they'll just kick you to the curb. But Jesus is a holy deity. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, my son, my daughter, and I will never forsake you. So with that, those words alone should be enough to give you comfort. Let you know that when all else fails, if hell breaks loose, you got Jesus on your side. You don't have to worry, hallelujah, because Jesus is right there. And so, like I said, there was those loud-mouthed occupants of Egypt that angered God. And I mean they angered God. I'll tell you when I read about that, I didn't really know that God could get so angry. I used to hear in my childhood time where when it would lightning would flash across the skies and we would be moving around, you know, in the home, and our mothers would tell us, you know, and if we had any gas, they would tell us to get somewhere and be still because God, you know, was doing his business and God, you know, was angry. But I tell you, it was until I became adult that I began to read God's word and to read about just how angry God could get. But, you know, we are the same way because, you know, we can get angry. So, you know, we just a chip off our father's block. Our fathers get angry and we can get angry too. But what I'm trying to say is that I never heard about Jesus getting angry until I started reading about the children of Israel and how they complained before God. And oh my God, I'll get to share that with you as we go along. And so, like I said, while leading the children out of Israel through the wilderness, Moses sought the comforting presence of the glory of God as a sign to show that he still had the favor of God. And see, when you got the favor of God, don't you know, I mean, that's something special when you got the favor of God upon your life. I mean, that's when you can ask God, and you're living holy for one thing, and you're living like God would want you and I to live. Not saying that we don't err, because we do. But long as you can go before God, and those that you're error before, go there and tell them that you're sorry for whatever wrong that you have done, and keep on moving. And when you've done anything that you know that God is not pleased with you about, you are to go in prayer. Tell God you're sorry even about that wrongful thought. You're sorry for that wrongful thought entering into your head. You're sorry for whatever you said to an individual, you know, that maybe wasn't so kind at the store or out and about, you know, in your daily itinerary. You can go there and tell that individual you're sorry for what you said or done. And then it's just erased. It's just like you're writing with a pencil and you make a mistake and you go there and erase it. God erases it and it's remembered anymore. So like I said, you know, that's the way it is with God. When we go to him in sincerity and prayer, God will forgive us of our sins and put them into the sea of forgetfulness. And so, like I said, having favor with God, oh, Lord, it's, you just can't imagine how that it makes one feel when you call on God. I mean, you know, SOS. You need him right there. You know, I've heard a lot of individuals say that God may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. But I beg to differ because I'm a living witness to let you know that God will come when you call him. God will come when you call him. God is not a day late, nor is he a dollar short. But God is an on-time God because he never sleeps, nor does he slumber. And so all we have to do is take our burdens, take our prayer petitions, and place them at the feet of God and leave them there. Don't go back and get them. Once you prayed your prayer before God, then you just wait on God because you know he's coming. You know he's coming. God said, I'll never leave you, didn't he? So he means what he said, and he said what he meant. God is never going to leave you and I. I remember I shared this testimony on my Facebook page, and I don't know if I shared it on live air, but I was going on a doctor's appointment. I really didn't want to go, but God just, you know, told me to go ahead on and go, you know, and so I said, well, okay, Lord, I'll go since you, you know, have summon me to go, then I'll get up and I'll get ready. And so I got up and I got ready, and it was just pouring down rain, and I didn't want to be out there and all of that water and all mixed together, and, you know, the drivers, because a lot of times, you know, when it rains, we have people that's driving erratic, and so I really didn't want to be out there on the road, but I knew I had to, because God had already told me to get up and get ready, and so I always, you know, would be obedient to God when he talks to me, and you should too. When God tells us something, we should not question God, but say, yes, God, let your will, not my will, but let your will be done in us. And so, as I was saying, I got up and I got ready, and I was driving on down the road, and I began to get on, you know, start to approach the interstate. And so it was just pouring down, and I had my wipers at the highest. And so I said, God, I said, I wish you would just stop this rain and allow me. I didn't have less than about 30 minutes to go, oh, maybe about, so probably 30, 40 miles out, I imagine. And so time was of an essence. And so, like I said, I asked God if he would just stop the rain for his daughter. I said, God, I wish you would just stop the rain for your daughter. I said, I'd be so thankful, and I'd give your name the glory and honor and praise. And so it kind of slacked off a little bit, and then it started pouring down heavily. And so the enemy came, and he tried to whisper in my ear, and he said, oh, you know, God is not going to stop that rain for you, you know. And I said, God, I said, I know you hear me when I pray. I said, I know you're doing your thing. You know, I know you're doing your thing. I said, but I'm going to wait. I said, but I'm asking you, God, as your daughter, to stop this rain so I can get on this interstate and move on down the road, you know. And so as I began to go across the ramp, I got in my left-hand turn and signal to emerge the ramp of the interstate. And so I got on, and I was approaching on to the interstate, and I was driving just a little bit. All of a sudden, it was cloudy, and it was pouring down rain. And then God began to stop the rain. And then God, just like a curtain, God put the sun out there just like that. And I could see the handwork of God right there before my eyes. And I just lift my hands as I began to drive. And I said, thank you, God. I said, I know you hear me when I pray. So that's what I mean, what I'm talking about, having, hallelujah, having that prayer life to where God favors you when you ask him something that you feel like, you know, you need right then and right there. God will step in right there. And I know that God will hear you when you call. God is an on-time God. He'll hear you when you call. So we need to reverse that, as God may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. We need to change that mindset. And this is the new one that you should use, and that is this. If God will come when I call him, because he is a right now God. He is an on-time God. He's never late, and he do not sleep, nor does he slumber. So God is everywhere, anywhere and everywhere, all over the place. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. And so, like I was saying, hallelujah. And so, while leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, Moses sought the confident presence of the glory of God as a sign to show that he still had the favor of God. And so, although God promised to show his glory, he refused to show his face. Instead, he showed Moses a cleft of the rock, a hiding place. I proposed to cover Moses with his hand until he has passed by. Consequently, Moses was protected from the face of God, yet privileged to see the glory of God. And so, you know, that reminds me what I just shared with you, my listener, is when I prayed, I didn't have no doubt that God was going to do what I asked him to do. I said, God, I want you to stop this rain so I can make my journey. I needed to, you know, get on down the road. And I didn't need to go 65 or 70. I need to kind of get on down the road a little bit. And so when God stopped that rain, then he put the sunshine out. I had the privilege to see God's glory. I didn't see God's face, but I seen God's glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. So as you and I and us, as we face the challenge in our lives, we don't see the face of God, but we do see the glory hidden away in the cleft of God. And we are protected by the hand of God as you and I and us. We experience that blessed assurance that God is still with you and I and us. We know that such is the meaning of the verse of a familiar hymn that says, Rock of ages, clip for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Hallelujah. So we know that through leaning and depending on God, you and I and us, we can find strength to sustain us in all of the difficulties of life. And we don't have to act like the loud-mouthed occupants of Egypt when they angered God. They angered God, hallelujah, like I never seen and read God being angered before. God said to Moses, he said, how long will these people provoke me? How long will it be they believe me for all the signs which I have shown among them? Hallelujah, Jesus. Then Jesus went on to say, he said, because the Lord was not able to bring his people into the land which he swore unto them. Therefore he had slain them in the wilderness. So you see how God had gotten angry. God said, now I beseech thee that the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children until the third and fourth generation. God went on to say, he says, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of his people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven his people from Egypt even until now. And then God says that, he says, because of those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, but tempted me 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Now see, that lets us know that Jesus is real. Jesus is a power source. God is omnipotent power, and we should respect God. We should honor God for who he is, because God is not anything that we should play with. And we should not, you know, talk to God any kind of way. But we should acknowledge God and reference Him as the holy deity that He is. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's our soon coming Messiah. Hallelujah. So God told them, He said, surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. So God was telling them right there that they was not going to see, hallelujah, the land in which God had promised them because of their disobedience. And so that's just like you and I and us. When we're disobedient, we miss our blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And so God hold off our blessings till we can find our senses and we can find out where we erred and say, God, I'm sorry that I did that. I'm sorry that I didn't trust you, God. I'm sorry that I went on my own way. And I know that you have delivered me time and time and time again out of my situations. You have paid my bills before. You paid my kids' college tuition. You paid my baby's daycare. You paid my mortgage time after time, month after month. You put money in my bank account when I didn't have money before. You sent somebody at my doorstep to bless me. You sent people to drive up with groceries in their car to present unto me. So I know that you have done things in the past, and I know that you'll do them again. We should have that kind of faith in God to not to doubt God. Because when we doubt God, you know that angry God. That means that we don't trust Him. Whenever you and I and us, when we doubt God, that lets Him know that, God, we don't trust you. We don't trust what you say. And why should we trust God when God has never broke a promise? God has never lied to you and I and us. God is not a liar. God never have been, and He never shall be. So God has always, always come through for you and I and us. And that's the way He had for the children of Israel. But see, they got loud mouthed. And they start talking where everybody could hear them, you know. They start talking amongst themselves and amongst the crowd. And then God heard them most of all. And God said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel, which they murmured against me. Hallelujah. He said, I say unto them, as truly as I live, said the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Now that's angry words right there. I don't care what you say, that is angry management right there. So your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. So that meant that God was going to take them from 20 years of age up. 20 years and up. So if you're 20, 30, 40, 70, 80, that meant you. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Save Caleb the son, hallelujah, of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. And then he went on to say, he says, and the man which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that Jesus is nothing to play with. Jesus has to be honored. Jesus has to be referenced at all times. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we know that they angered God and they was slain for doing so. God say, go not up, for the Lord is not among you. So God even took his presence away from them. He said, go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemy. And so we're told, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you are turned away from the Lord. Therefore the Lord will not be with you. So they went up there unaccompanied by the Lord. They didn't have any protection. And then they was disobedient. So you know, when we're disobedient, expect nothing but the worst a lot of times in our lives because of disobedience. And you know, it's just the same way when we have our little children, when they are small, you know, and we tell them, you know, you come home after school, you know, don't go over to your friend's house, don't go play basketball, don't go by the store, but I want you to come straight home because I have something that I want you to do. You know, you have an assignment for them. And then they disobey what you say. And they go by their friends or they stop at the store. And then you tell them, you say, well, I told you not to stop at the store when you got out of school to come straight home. So you're angry with that son or daughter because him or her was disobedient. That's the same way it is with us and our God. He's our Heavenly Father. He's our spiritual Father. And when he tells you and I and us to do something, we shouldn't even ask any questions. Just, yes, Lord, let your will be done. Not thy will, not my will, but let thy will be done. That's the way we should be. And I tell you, you can just see God's just love on you with blessings of unknown. You weren't even looking for it. You know, God blesses us when we don't even look for God to bless us. We know that we are unworthy. But God loves us so until God blesses us. God just bless you with money. You don't even know. You said, oh, my God. Yeah. Someone come along and say, God told me to give this to you. God told me to bring this by and drop it off. You know, you don't know how your blessings have come. Because God has his own way of blessing us. He has his own angels that he wants to send out to bless us. But God blesses us when we least expect it. So I just want you to, you know, if you haven't been trusting God, start trusting God more and watch God bless you. God will bless you beyond your wildest dream. Because that's the way God works. God loves us. And he loves to love on us and bless us. That's just God. You know, that's, and you know, when God proved his love, when, you know, someone loved you and they proved that Jesus just wasn't all talk, but Jesus was actions as well. Because when Jesus went to Calvary Cross over 2,000 light years ago, and they hung Jesus high and spread him wide on Calvary Cross. They pierced him in the side. They put large tacks in both of his hands, both of his feet, a crown of thorns was dropped up on his head because he didn't place it up on there. Someone else did. And the thorns that was in that crown went through Jesus' flesh, and Jesus bled throughout his flesh, and tears was up on God's face. And if that wasn't enough, they put Jesus across his backside with 39 stripes. And the Bible says that Jesus died and he gave up the ghost. And then the Bible goes on to say that Jesus died until the Son went into hiding. So that means that the Son refused to shine. It was complete darkness upon the earth. So that is proof. That is proof right there that Jesus loved you and I and us on today. So, like I said, the children of Israel had forgot all about the things that Jesus had done, all the great things, and delivered them from one thing, because, like I said, they was just roaming around with no sense of direction. They didn't have anywhere to go. They didn't have anywhere to go. Hallelujah. And we know that most people have a bad habit or two. Some habits are just irritating, such as talking too much, talking too fast. Others are much more serious. Hallelujah. We know that the people of ancient Israel, they had been delivered from the slavery. They ought to have been thankful. Instead, they started to complain to Moses and Aaron. Oh, that we had died by the hands of the Lord in the land of Egypt. And in the law of Exodus, we read that their complaining escalated into a quarrel. In reality, their complaints were with God. But they picked a fight with Moses because he was a leader. They said, why is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? The people even began questioning if God was really with them. Yet it always met their needs. If they were honest, we would have to admit that we sometimes complain. Just like I said, when God isn't coming through for us the way you and I and us are, we accuse him of being absent or disinterested. But when our heart is concerned with God's purpose, then we know that Father, when we are concerned with his business rather than our own, we'll be patient and trust him to provide all that we need. Then we won't develop a bad habit as the loud-mouthed occupants of Egypt when they complained and angered God. It angers God when we consistently complain. It's one thing to, you know, just say, well, Lord, you know, I'm out of food and, you know, I need you to bless me, you know, with some money or bless me with some food. And you just put that out there, and because what you're doing now, you're making your petition known unto God, and God tell us to make your prayer request known unto God. So when you first make your prayer petition known to God, then you don't have to do anything else because you've already told him, God, I'm asking you to bless me with some food to feed myself or feed me and my family, feed me and my kids, me and my husband. You know, whoever is in your household, you're asking God for assistance in helping you to meet that need. And so God said, I heard you the first time. So we don't have to continue to keep going back and forth to God for the same thing. All we got to do is just pray and then wait. We know of people, what would happen if they turn away from him and disobey his command. Hallelujah. Did we know that the entire verse would read, just as the Lord has rejoiced over you and has done such wonderful things for you, has multiplied you, so the Lord, at that time, will rejoice in destroying you, just like he did the children of Israel. He destroyed them because of their lack of thankfulness. He said, and ye shall disappear from the land. And that's the reason coming out of law, Deuteronomy 28 and 63. The Bible contains words of encouragement as well as words of warning. And it's important for you and I and us to appreciate both for their instructions in our walk with God. God's word provides the nourishment that every Christian needs to grow, supplying strength from day to day. And it teaches you and I and us what you and I and us need to know. The more we meditate on the scripture, the closer me and you and I and us will walk with the Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Among the Israelites, too many people listened too long to complaints, began to agree with them. We know that this displeased God. And for good reason, God has delivered the Israel from slavery and agreed to live in their midst, still complain. Beyond the hardship of the desert, they were dissatisfied with God's provision of manna. In their complaint, Israel forgot that the manna was a gift to them from God's loving hand. In the law of Numbers 11 and 6, we know because of planning, pausing the heart with the ingratitude that can be contagious, God had to judge it. We know that this is a sure way to say goodbye to complaining and ingratitude. We can just tell God, Lord, I thank you that you have given me so much. Forgive me and I and us for our short memories and bad attitude. Help us to remember and to be grateful for all that you have supplied and provided. And help us to tell others of the good things that you have done for us and through us. We know if you and I and us, if we proclaim God's faithfulness, it will silence our discontentment. And indeed, I hope and I pray that I've said something to our marinate nature, spirit, and inferior mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, you have any prayer petitions you would on old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence. God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal, Digital, Worldwide Ministry. Hallelujah. Send your correspondence. Make them attend to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gera, California 950-20. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. I'm asking you to buckle up with Jesus at your wheel because he is people friendly. We're going to now open up the lines. If you have any prayer petitions that you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer, pray with you on a petition that you have placed at the feet of God. You are urged to call in. That number is 646-200-3074. That number again, 646-200-3074. If you have any testimony of miracles of blessings that you would like to share with the world live on air, you are encouraged to call in. Hallelujah. We'd be eager to hear from you. And if there be any calls of prayer or testimony, we're going to now change the dynamics of this program. We're going to turn you now over into Hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. So until we come across these airways and skyways once again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Up next, Hymns of Zion.
because God is. I tell because God is. Gotta move on from here because we'll be here all night. Oh.
And I'm not.